Most everyone in Blacksburg that day knows exactly where they were when they heard there'd been a mass shooting at the university. Melissa Repepi was at work in her office in Burris Hall near the center of campus when she heard the noise coming from a building nearby.
So I just remember you heard like a pop and like a few little pops, which in my memory, and who knows if it's accurate or not, it just kind of washed over me. But then you hear the then you really hear it, and it's very unusual, and you realize it's not construction noise.
It was the sound of gunfire. A Korean-American student, who many described as a loner, had shot two people in another campus building and was in the process of shooting dozens more.
Maybe 10 years later, with the trajectory of mass shootings in our country, maybe now your mind would go there. But at that point in time, Columbine was the only real touchstone, you know, for something of that scale.
In the days and weeks that followed, there was raw pain and so much grief for the victims, their families.
And it's not just, you know, it goes throughout the community to the people who were downtown, who heard the sirens.
And soon Blacksburg was at the center of that familiar media focus that comes unbidden after tragic events.
One of the things that bothered me enormously as I watched all of this coverage was how they were making the story.
Anita Puckett is a linguistic anthropologist who teaches at Virginia Tech.
They were creating the narrative of what had happened, and they were claiming ownership of that narrative by various media broadcasts. And I'm going, no, it's our misery. It's our narrative. And whose story is it going to be over time?
Eventually, the media spotlight faded, but processing this extreme act of violence became almost a part of the culture in this small southwestern Virginia town. There were vigils, public events, and private dinners at people's homes that continue to this day. 3 years ago, the Moss Art Center at Virginia Tech commissioned a work of art aimed directly at exploring the issue of gun violence.
In the history of the world, so many children so quiet for so long, within and without being dead.
To create the oratorio, avant-garde composer Byron O'Young and hip-hop playwright Aaron Jafaris talked with dozens of people from all over Blacksburg. Charlotte Braithwaite is directing.
It's like literally the voices of the community speaking out about the issues that they feel connected to.
And some of them were cast in this choral hip-hop theater production.
Is it teaching what to look for before someone attacks? Reaching out to keep someone from falling through the cracks? Is it helping a kid before he becomes dangerous? Even if welcoming him means changing us.
I think that's what opened up, you know, an idea of breaking the fourth wall.
Composer Byron O'Young.
If you're an audience member that comes, you may be sitting next to someone who is all of a sudden starts to sing.
They wanted the piece to feature many layers of human voices, says Aaron Jafaris, to illustrate its theme.
Which is young people who decide that they want to silence many voices in order to make their own voice metaphorically large. We recognize that we need to flip that and give platform to multiple voices.
How can I and the people in this room get these shootings to stop? I don't know. I'm asking you. A few questions are all I've got.
The work is called Belonging. It premieres in Blacksburg next weekend, and over the next 2 years it's on to Miami, New Haven, and San Francisco, with local casts performing. I'm Robbie Harris.